Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2019. Coming up this hour:
global stocks rally, bonds retreat, and the dollar weakens.
Risk assets gain following optimistic reports on trade talks.
Europe's services sector shows strong momentum.
And Theresa May turns to Jeremy Corbyn for help on her Brexit deal.
The House subpoenas a former White House security officer over clearances. Plus, Lori Lightfoot is the first black woman to be mayor of Chicago. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Yankee bats were quiet. They lost in the ninth inning to Detroit at the stadium. Mets with a quick start and held on at the end to win at Miami.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker in 2019 by Barron's. Find out why. Visit ibkr.com/yib to learn more.
And stocks around the world are gaining this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures 14 points higher. That's a gain of nearly a half percent. Dow futures up 108. NASDAQ futures up 43 points. The DAX in Germany up 1.2%. The CAC in Paris up 0.6%. Price of the 10-year down 13 32nds. The yield at 2.52%. Two-year treasuries 2.33% yield. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 16 cents at $62.74 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed up 90 cents. It's at $12.96.30 an ounce. The euro at 112.46 against the dollar. The yen is at 111.49. This data check brought to you by Flexport. Flexport's operating system for global trade delivers visibility and control for predictable supply chain costs and reliable transit times, all from a powerful technology platform. Learn more at flexport.com/OS, John.
And Nathan, we begin with the latest round of trade talks as negotiators from the U.S. and China meet in Washington today. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Capping a round of talks in Beijing last week, China offered some conciliatory gestures on auto tariffs and stemming its exports of the opioid fentanyl, hoping to keep up positive momentum as the talks shift to Washington. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer sounded optimistic on CBS Face the Nation.
If there's a deal to be done, we'll make it. The president wants us to make a deal.
But he echoed the president's own concerns about compliance.
We have to make sure that if we do the deal with China, that China lives by the deal.
Which creates its own possible issue, leaving tariffs in place while China's compliance is monitored and assessed. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bob, thank you. We heard more on the negotiations from President Trump overnight as he addressed the GOP's annual spring dinner.
We are standing up to China's chronic trading abuses and theft of intellectual properties and so many other things that they've done to us.
Protection for intellectual property remains an unresolved issue in trade talks. There is also no agreement on exactly what will happen to tariffs on Chinese goods once a deal is reached. But the Financial Times reports most issues surrounding a deal have been resolved.
And that hint of a resolution gave a lift to stocks in Asia today, with equities in the region gaining around 1%. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from our Singapore bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, John and Nathan. Also helping sentiment was a better-than-forecast increase in a gauge of China's services industries, adding to readings earlier in the week on manufacturing that showed improvement too. In Tokyo, the Nikkei 225 rose 1% to finish at 21,713 points, while Hong Kong and Korean markets also posted solid gains. A Voyager-friendly federal budget lifted Australia's ASX 200 by 0.6% in Sydney, and Indian stocks continued their run, the Sensex remaining at record highs during trade. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, stocks in Europe are rising as well, with miners and automakers leading the way. Italy's benchmark index is set to enter a bull market, gaining 20% since a two-year low it reached in late December.
The gains come following strong services data from the euro area. Purchasing managers' indexes for March beat estimates in all four of the region's largest economies. Services sector growth accelerated in Germany, Spain, and Italy, while activity in France contracted less than expected.
Meanwhile, in the UK, Theresa May is calling for a cross-party approach to Brexit.
I'm offering to sit down with the leader of the opposition and to try to agree a plan that we would both stick to ensure that we leave the European Union and that we do so with a deal.
Now, the Prime Minister is asking Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn to work with her on a compromise that can pass Parliament. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts live from London. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Yes, a change to Theresa May's Brexit strategy. As the UK Premier reaches out across the House of Commons to Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, the two politicians will face each other today for Prime Minister's questions. As well as the usual parliamentary theatre, watch out for the reaction from her own side. Many Brexit supporters in May's party fear that working with Labour will lead to a closer future relationship with the EU and perhaps a customs union. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thanks. Oil rising for a fourth day with Brent crude closing in on $70 a barrel for the first time since November. Up next for oil, the Energy Information Administration releases its weekly inventory report at 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Jessica Summers reports.
Analysts are forecasting a 900,000 barrel decline in U.S. crude stockpiles in this week's report. Yet sources say API reported a 3 million barrel rise in supplies. Analysts will watch for a rebound in refinery processing rates, which we normally would see this time of year. But many plants have faced unplanned outages that could lead to that potential crude build. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Brent crude up 36 cents at 69.70.
All right, turning to corporate news now, we're learning more about the faulty sensor involved in the first Boeing MAX jet crash last October when a Lion Air flight plunged into the Java Sea. Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora reports.
A faulty sensor on the Boeing jet that crashed last year had previously been repaired in a U.S. aircraft maintenance facility before the tragedy. Documents obtained by Bloomberg show Extra Aerospace, a repair station in Florida, had worked on the sensor, which triggered problems linked to the October crash. Investigators in Indonesia have been examining the work that Florida repair shop performed on the sensor, which sent faulty signals that triggered nose-down movements on the plane. There's currently no indication the same shop did any maintenance on the Ethiopian Air jet that crashed last month. That disaster prompted the grounding of Boeing's entire 737 MAX fleet. Patrice Sikora, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Patrice. S&P futures up 13 points now. Dow futures ahead by 102. NASDAQ futures up 42 points. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And it is now 6:07 on Wall Street. That is time for news from around the world. We say good morning once again to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Lori Lightfoot has been elected the next mayor of Chicago, becoming the first black woman picked to lead the country's third most populous city.
In the Chicago we will build together. We will celebrate our differences. We will embrace our uniqueness. And we will make certain that all have every opportunity to succeed.
Lightfoot faced a runoff yesterday against Tony Preckwinkle. Lightfoot won 74-26%. The House Oversight Committee voted to subpoena former White House Security Officer Carl Klein related to the White House security clearance process. A whistleblower accused Klein of granting security clearances at President Trump's request to people who were initially rejected. House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings.
It calls out for us to look at it and look at it carefully. If we fail to do that, then I consider it a major breach of our responsibilities.
President Trump is responding to a Democratic-led effort to have the full Mueller report released to the public. The president says he wants someone to investigate the people that started the Mueller report.
People did things that were very, very bad for our country and very, very illegal, and you could even say treasonous.
The House Judiciary Committee will vote today to authorize a subpoena for the full Mueller report. President Trump says that his threat to close the border had the desired effect on Mexico's willingness to intercept migrants. Bloomberg's Irv Chapman reports from the White House.
The president spoke as he met with the Secretary General of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Mexico has been starting to apprehend a lot of people at their southern border, and they say they're going to stop them. Let's see. They have the power to stop them. They have the laws to stop them. If they don't, the border is going to be closed, 100%.
The president had some pushback from Senate leader Mitch McConnell.
Closing down the border would have potentially catastrophic economic impact on our country. I would hope we would not be doing that.
The president said he's been talking to some Democrats about changes in immigration law. At the White House, Irv Chapman, Bloomberg Radio.
New York state lawmakers have given final approval to legislation prohibiting the sale of tobacco products to anyone under 21. Governor Andrew Cuomo proposed the measure in his budget. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John, not exactly a murderer's row in the bottom half of last night's Yankee lineup. Mike Tauchman, Clint Frazier, Tyler Wade, Austin Romine. Four regulars are hurt, three were arrested, and Yankee bats were quiet. And the night after they beat the Tigers 3-1, they lost 3-1 as Detroit scored twice in the ninth inning off a roll to Chapman. Yanks need to win today, 4 o'clock start, just to get a split of the season-opening six-game homestand against the Orioles and Tigers, believed to be two of baseball's worst teams. Much better start for the Mets, and a great start last night with 5 runs in the first inning. Another big hit for Ahmed Rosario, 2-run double. Mets had to hang on at the end to top the Marlins 6-5. Justin Wilson got a double play to end the game and earn the save for Jason Vargas. Mets have Jacob deGrom going tonight, so good chance for a 5-1 road trip, the home openers tomorrow. Washington fans booed Bryce Harper in his return and enjoyed seeing Max Scherzer strike out Harper twice, but the $330 million Philly had the last laugh. Three hits, a homer, three RBIs. The Phils won 8-2 and are now 4-0. Harper on getting booed.
Like I said, you know, I have 45,000 people back in the city of Philadelphia cheering me on. And, I mean, that's sports. I mean, that's part of the game, I guess you could say. I'm excited to be a Philadelphia Philly. I'm excited to be part of this team. I'm excited, like I said, to go out here and compete with these guys every single day.
The Red Sox, meanwhile, are 1-5, shut out for a second straight game, a 1-0 loss in Oakland. Texas and Lipscomb, NIT semifinal winners at the Garden. The Alliance of American Football has already folded. The league was in business for 2 months. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
Thanks, John. The University of Southern California's $69 million sale of naming rights for Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum is drawing scrutiny. Critics say it dishonors the historic stadium's dedication as a memorial to soldiers who fought and died in World War I. USC announced last year the stadium will be renamed United Airlines Memorial Coliseum this August as part of a $270 million renovation. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak, out now on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. All right, let's check those latest headlines now with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Nathan. The Financial Times reports that most issues surrounding U.S.-China trade negotiations have been resolved. Still, though, it says the two sides have yet to agree on what happens to existing tariffs on Chinese goods. Theresa May is gambling on the opposition Labour Party to get a Brexit deal through Parliament. It opens the door to a softer Brexit, but is angering lawmakers in her own party. President Trump is still mad at Jerome Powell and reportedly blasted the Fed chairman at 3 meetings in the past week. According to the Wall Street Journal, the president still blames the Fed for holding back the economy and stock market. And Deutsche Bank's US unit continued handling Danske Bank's business even after staff flagged some questionable transactions. That's according to a former compliance officer who says workers were told to shut up, file the paperwork and move on. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Nathan.
All right, thank you, Bloomberg's Hannah George. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures contracts continue to point higher with S&P futures up 13 points, Dow futures ahead by 102 points, NASDAQ futures up 41. The DAX in Germany up 1.2%, the CAC in Paris up 0.5%, price of the 10-year down 12, 30 seconds, the yield 2.51%, two-year treasuries 2.33%. NYMEX crude oil little changed up 5 cents at $62.64 a barrel. COMEX gold up a 10th percent or $1.30 at $12.96.70 an ounce. The euro at 1.1247 against the dollar with the yen at 111.47. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Chicago has made history with its newly elected mayor. Lori Lightfoot has been elected to replace Rahm Emanuel, becoming the first black woman picked to lead the country's third most populous city. The House Judiciary Committee votes today on whether it will issue subpoenas to compel the delivery of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on the Russia investigation. The panel's chairman, Jerry Nadler, says they will do what is necessary to see the full report. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets were winners along with the Orioles. The Red Sox lost to the A's 1-0. The Nationals and Giants lost. In the NBA, the Warriors won. In the NHL, the Bruins won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 620 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, Brexit makes for strange bedfellows, apparently. Prime Minister May rejecting no deal, proposing cross-party talks. And our Brexit editor, Emma Ross-Thompson, is here now to explain in the simplest terms possible, Emma, what the heck is going on. Talk slowly so I can understand this.
So Theresa May has reached out to the leader of the opposition, who also backs Brexit, and asked him to come together and find a Brexit compromise that can win a majority in the House of Commons. Now, Theresa May in 2016 decided, even though the vote was very close, it was 52-48, Theresa May decided to pursue a type of Brexit that would sever a lot of very important economic ties from the bloc. And this was to control immigration, which she thought was the main reason people voted for Brexit in 2016. And then she came up with a compromise, a sort of compromise on Brexit, and it failed to win a majority in the House of Commons. Theresa May doesn't have a majority, and that's why, to get her Brexit policy through, she needs members of Parliament of other parties to also back her deal. Now, this has been true since June of 2017, and many people thought after the election in June 2017 that the sort of remorseless logic of that election result, when May lost her majority, was that she would have to adopt a sort of soft Brexit, a Brexit that didn't quite feel like Brexit to the hardliners, but that nevertheless would deliver some kind of split from the EU that protected some of the economic ties that are so important for jobs and the economy.
Now, I'm guessing the Conservatives pretty much hate Jeremy Corbyn. And I don't think that's too strong of a characterization. So how desperate do you have to be to reach across and embrace Jeremy Corbyn and try to come up with some sort of an agreement?
So what has changed is that Theresa May appears to have ruled out the option of no deal. Until recently, it did appear that she was willing to entertain that possibility, perhaps in part because it would at least stop the hardliners from trying to oust her. And what appears to have changed is that she has said, we're not going to go down the no-deal route. We need to deliver a deal. And the only way to deliver a deal is if I get Labour lawmakers on board. How is she going to get Labour lawmakers on board? By inviting their leader in for talks. Now, is this going to work? It's too early to tell. We've got Prime Minister's questions at 12. You'll sort of be reading the body language there. Let's see. Both sides are saying they're willing to compromise. But the sort of landing zone, if you like, the obvious landing zone where a compromise could be found would be considered a massive betrayal by the pro-Brexit squad in the Conservative Party. So there is a risk that while she brings on board some Labour MPs, she loses some of the Tory MPs who she has been, you know, recently managed to bring on side. Time is of the essence. There is an EU summit on April the 10th. There has to be some kind of at least path to an agreement clear by April the 10th in order for the EU to sign off on another extension. And the risk that the sort of timetable that they're fighting against now is that if they haven't got a way forward by April the 10th, then it looks like the UK is going to have to take part in European parliamentary elections at the end of May, which will be 3 years after the UK voted to leave. And that is really, you know, there are some fears that that would be at the very least a very wacky election, and at the worst that it would be a sort of an occasion for a sort of populist outpouring of pro-Brexit rage.
Now, I gotta wonder, does any good compromise exist? We get 20 seconds here.
there is a compromise that business would like. It's probably called the customs union. It has, if you look very closely in the existing deal, it's already there. But whether Theresa May will take that political gamble is the question. But yes, there is a compromise, and there is a compromise that would probably get a majority in the House of Parliament. But the political considerations are uppermost, aren't they?
All right. Emma, thank you so very much. I think we get it now. Brexit editor Emma Ross Thompson joining us from Thomas this morning. Join us from London. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. And as we look at sterling this morning, British pound sterling 131.81. That is up 0.4% against the U.S. dollar. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And this on a morning when futures point to a higher open on Wall Street. Right now, S&P futures, they are up 13 points. The Dow futures up 106 points. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, they are 41 points higher. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. And let's get you up to speed on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks rising around the world. Bonds are retreating at renewed optimism that the U.S. and China will reach a deal as trade talks resume in Washington. While the two countries are still at odds on carrying out and enforcing a deal, the Financial Times reports most other roadblocks have been cleared.
Meanwhile, in the UK, Prime Minister Theresa May is asking the opposition Labour Party for help with Brexit. Now we get the details from Bloomberg's Robert Hutton in London.
The Prime Minister abandoned her strategy of making Brexit a project for her Conservative Party. Instead, she asked Jeremy Corbyn, leader of the Labour Party, to rescue her. The pair will face each other across the House of Commons. His approach and her response will offer a clue as to how their talks about a joint Brexit approach are going to go. In London, Robert Hutton, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Services providers across the euro area ended the first quarter on a stronger footing than economists anticipated. Services sector growth accelerated in Germany, Spain, and Italy, while activity in France contracted less than expected.
And here in the U.S., we get the first of three readings this week on the labor market. At 8:15 a.m. Wall Street time, ADP issues data on March private payrolls, with economists forecasting a gain of 175,000. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
America's labor market has been on a roll, but Bloomberg Economics says hiring could lose momentum this year as the economy moderates. In February, job growth at private employers retreated from a 13-year high, 183,000 versus January's hefty 300,000 advance. On Friday, the government issues official employment data, which also flashed signs of weakness in February, a gain of just 20,000 non-farm jobs. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And on the corporate front, Intel is naming George Davis as the chief financial officer, filling the post with a man who held the same position at rival Qualcomm for the past 6 years.
And crude oil is rising for a fourth day. Brent crude's close to topping $70 a barrel for the first time since November. Right now, Brent's at $69.67. That's a gain of 30 cents, while NYMEX crude is up 7 cents at $62.66. per barrel. As for the rest of the market, it is also trending higher. We check the numbers every 15 minutes. Throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, and S&P futures are up 13 points. Dow futures up 102. NASDAQ futures up 40 points. DAX in Germany up 1%, while the CAC in Paris is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds. The yield at 2.51%. 2-year Treasuries 2.32%. The euro is at 112.46 against the dollar. The yen is at 111.45, the British pound at 131.74 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
It's now 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update being brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm, helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more. Well, let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Chicago made history, electing former federal prosecutor Lori Lightfoot as its first black female mayor, as the city struggles with fiscal problems and gun violence on its streets.
Our duty as a city, as leaders, as neighbors, as people, is to stand with these mothers and children and put an end to this gun violence once and for all.
Lightfoot, who also will be the first openly gay leader of Chicago, soundly defeated Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, 74-26%. The House Oversight Committee voted to authorize the subpoena of former White House Security Officer Carl Klein for his testimony for information related to the White House security clearance process. A whistleblower has accused Klein of granting security clearances at President Trump's request to people whom officials had advised to turn down for clearance. House Committee on Oversight and Reform Chairman Elijah Cummings.
Serious questions have arisen as to their criminal records, financial problems, drug use, conflicts of interest.
President Trump retreated from a threat to close the U.S. border with Mexico, saying he was still ready to do it, but that the Mexican government had begun stopping migrants from entering the U.S. Authorities say a woman carrying two Chinese passports illegally entered President Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Palm Beach, Florida, over the weekend and lied to a Secret Service agent. The suspect also had four mobile phones, a laptop computer, an external hard drive, and a thumb drive found to contain malware. President Trump is touting a new health care package that he says will be more cost-efficient for Americans. Speaking at a GOP fundraiser last night, the president said the Republican Party will be the champion of pre-existing conditions.
We're going to come up with a health care plan. We're not going to vote on it until after the election. We'll all promise it's going to be our first vote because we blew it the last time.
Democrats criticized the Trump administration for siding with a court ruling arguing for full Obamacare repeal. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 636 on Wall Street, that's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John, the Mets, who started last season 11-1, are 4-1 and have Jacob deGrom on the mound today in Miami ahead of tomorrow's home opener. They won last night 6-5, scored five runs in the first inning, then held on after Seth Lugo gave up three runs on five hits. Justin Wilson got a five-out save. The Yankees got another strong outing from Masahiro Tanaka, but struggled to score against Jordan Zimmermann. And Detroit scored twice in the ninth inning off Aroldis Chapman to win 3-1. The go-ahead run on an RBI hit by Dustin Peterson, his first major league hit. Aaron Boone's team is now 2-3.
Masa threw great and didn't even necessarily think he had his best stuff, but just pitched so well and was able to get us deep into the game. And then Otto came in there, you know, getting that early run and just couldn't tack on. Frustrating when you lose, you know, a well-played game to that point. But, you know, credit, they got to Chappie, and that's going to happen.
Homestand ends today, 4 o'clock start. Red Sox lost 1-0 in Oakland. Boston 1-5, shutout back-to-back games. Seattle won again, now 6-1. Tampa Bay is 5-1. Blake Snell, 13 strikeouts for the Rays. Milwaukee off to a 5-1 start, and the Phillies are 4-0. An 8-2 rout in Washington. Bryce Harper returned to D.C., shook off the boos. He had three hits, three RBIs. NBA, the Warriors took a big step towards having home court throughout the West with a win over Denver. Oklahoma City beat the Lakers. Russell Westbrook, first player since Wilt Chamberlain to have 20 or more points, rebounds, and assists. At the Garden, NIT semifinal wins for Texas and Lipscomb. Championship game is tomorrow. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. On the business front, changes are in the works at the White House concerning who should be liable for wage and hour complaints, franchises or franchisees. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Trump administration is proposing a rule that looks at four factors to determine who's responsible.
Whether the main company, not the third party, but the main company has an ability to hire and fire, supervise and control schedules, set pay rates, and maintain employment records.
Bloomberg Law's Jacqueline Diaz.
So unless they're involved in all of those duties, they can't be liable when a worker sues their employer and the related business for those wage and hour violations.
It's supported by businesses, but not workers' advocates. Now there's a 60-day public comment period. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. It is now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
When Facebook's boss, Mark Zuckerberg, writes an op-ed asking governments to impose some new regulation on his company, a little skepticism is in order. Each of Zuckerberg's four proposals on harmful content, election integrity, privacy, and use of data would create its own particular problems if adopted as government policy. But on one point, they have much in common. They'd be good for Facebook's business. One can hardly blame Zuckerberg for advocating new rules that would benefit his company. The problem is that his proposals would harm just about everyone else in the process and leave users' legitimate concerns largely unaddressed. Zuckerberg deserves a hearing, but it's rarely a good idea to outsource regulation to the enterprise that most needs to be regulated. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. If you're a small business looking to hire, you might have to consider a fringe worker. Frank Fiorelli, vice president at Paychex, says the labor market is so tight, it's unlikely you'll find somebody who's ready to hit the ground running.
Businesses are actually trying to hire those employees kind of on the fringe, right? So maybe where before they wanted a four-year degree, now they won't request that so much. And what they'll do is they'll do more training to try to make sure that they can come in and do the job.
The Paychex IHS Market Small Business Employment Watch showed its first job growth decrease of this year in March, the Small Business Jobs Index declining 0.15%. It may be impeding growth. Fiorelli says he's hearing stories of small companies turning down business because they don't have the workers to meet the demand. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. This comes at a morning when futures in the U.S. point to a higher open. S&P futures, 13 points higher. That's up about 0.5%. And the Dow futures right now up 109 points. That's up 0.4. NASDAQ futures, 41 points higher, up 0.6%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, the world leader in robotic hair transplants.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Flexport. Say hello to Flexport and the operating system for global trade, combining cloud technology and analytics, logistics, infrastructure, and supply chain expertise. Learn more at flexport.com/OS. Futures moving higher this morning. Let's get over to the First Word Breaking News Desk for today's morning call with Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Nathan. That's right. U.S. futures in the green right now, helped by trade optimism. Dow futures currently up 107 points. S&P's gained 14, while the NASDAQ futures climbed by 40. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.52%. Oil is little changed. And China jumped 1.2% overnight. European markets are also climbing, led by 1% gains in Germany, Italy, and Spain. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:15, ADP employment change at 9:45, market U.S. services and composite PMIs, and at 10 o'clock, the ISM non-manufacturing index. After the bell last night, GameStop EPS missed the lowest estimates, and Dave & Buster's Q4 comp sales beat estimates. Regarding earnings this morning, look for a Signet to report around 7 a.m. and Acuity Brands around 8:30. Wrapping things up, Alcoa was downgraded to neutral at Bank of America. Caterpillar downgraded to hold over at Deutsche Bank. Delta Brands downgraded to market reform at BMO. And Raytheon downgraded to neutral over at UBS. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan.
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg terminal, type SQUAK. That's SQUAWK. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Chicago Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot says the city's voters have created a movement for change. Lightfoot yesterday became the city's first black woman and openly gay person elected to lead the nation's third largest city. She beat political veteran and Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, 74% to 26%. The House Judiciary Committee will vote today to authorize a subpoena for the full Mueller report. Attorney General William Barr says he will release a redacted version in a couple of weeks, but missed the Democrats' April 2nd deadline to turn over all 300-plus pages. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets were winners, along with the Orioles. The Red Sox lost to the A's 1-0. The Nationals and Giants lost. In the NBA, the Warriors won. In the NHL, the Bruins won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, holy guacamole, Mexican avocado prices are surging the most in almost a decade. Part of it because President Trump is ramping up threats to close the border with Mexico. And according to the experts, John, it could get worse because avocado prices could easily double or triple if the border is shut down.
Forget avocados. What about tequila?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about important staples.
Well, hey, well, you have something to dip the chip while you have your tequila.
That's true.
Thanks for scaring me. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. Michael Barr, this is Bloomberg, John.
Holy guacamole. You were just waiting to say that. Oh. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. And it is time now to head to the nation's capital, see what's happening in D.C. Some of the top stories in Washington include a congressional panel authorizing a subpoena on White House security clearances. President Trump calling the war in Afghanistan, quote, ridiculous. And later today, the president receives a briefing from senior military leaders. Also making news this morning, trade talks entering crunch time as China's lure arrives in the United States. And to walk us through this morning, we're joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning. What are the outstanding issues as we go into these talks?
Well, I think one of the or two of the major outstanding issues are what the protections are going to be for intellectual property and also what any enforcement mechanisms might be of a broader trade agreement. So I think that's kind of where things stand now in terms of figuring out how to put the finishing touches on some kind of a trade deal. But those are pretty significant outstanding issues. And so, you know, it's not necessarily a given, a foregone conclusion that they're going to be resolved.
Okay, what kind of progress has been made so far?
Well, it sounds like there is some progress being made. Obviously, there's been setbacks along the way, too, but I think there's some optimism that the next round of talks, you know, could be fruitful and could potentially move them closer in the direction of an agreement.
Now, we've been hearing from Larry Kudlow about this, one of the president's chief economic advisors. What has he been saying? And certainly it appears that it's been moving markets because we do have futures, at least this morning, pointing to a higher open on Wall Street. So there is a degree of optimism entering these talks today.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that anytime the U.S. and China are sitting down and talking, as opposed to, you know, disagreeing and having rhetorical, you know, sparring, I think that is certainly a good indication for markets that would make them more optimistic that there could be an agreement. However, again, I mean, I think we're a long way from that, so I wouldn't presume that that's definitely going to be the case.
Does anybody find it curious that the president uses as a metric in all this, a metric for success, the trade deficit? It would probably be the last thing I would pick because, you know, if the country's doing well, the trade deficit is going to be, there's going to be a gap there. You're going to buy more stuff, and that stuff comes from overseas.
Absolutely, and I think that's what some of the president's critics have kind of honed in on is sort of this presumption that the president has made that, you know, having a trade deficit in a global economy and an economy like the U.S.'s, where, as you point out rightly, a lot of things are going to need to be imported, that is automatically a bad thing. And I think that not everyone would start from that same point.
Let's move on to the next story this morning. We're looking at Trump-Mexico border closing would halt auto assembly, hit farms. We were just talking about that with Michael Barr in terms of the avocado prices. That's already having an impact. But President Trump has been short on details about his threat to close the border with Mexico. What kind of pushback is he getting?
Well, I think it's really significant to see that the pushback is coming not just from U.S. exporters, but also from Republicans, you know, members of his own party on Capitol Hill, who are pointing out that this would be, you know, a very, very damaging thing potentially economically. And so I think that, you know, even the White House has seemed to want to talk about perhaps creating some exceptions for freight. So it would just, you know, in their minds, I think, try to sort of weave this in so that it would just slow the movement of people and not necessarily the movement of goods. I don't know whether that's going to be possible to do, but I think that the fact that he's getting this broad pushback from Republicans in his own party signifies that, you know, this could have a dramatic economic impact. And I think some Republicans are probably scratching their head and wondering why the president would do something that could have adverse economic impacts. It seems as though it's kind of a self-inflicted wound that the U.S. wouldn't necessarily need to suffer.
Let me wrap up with this story. Mentioned to Larry Kudlow. Kudlow says Mr. Trump stands by his pick for the Federal Reserve vacancy, Mr. Moore, despite tax and alimony reports. This is his choice to fill the vacancy on the Federal Reserve. The choice is not universally welcome.
That's right. And so he's getting some pushback from, you know, some criticism, I would imagine, from Democrats, you know, whose votes aren't necessarily going to be needed to get more confirmed. But I think what's interesting to note here is that the president, while, you know, by Kudlow's account, is standing by him, he hasn't formally nominated him to the position yet. And so I think this, that's a dynamic to watch closely because, you know, until he formally nominates him, then it can't move forward in the confirmation process. And I think that that delay may just be coincidental, but it also could end up being significant.
Kathleen, as always, thank you very much. Kathleen Hunter, you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. Reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is now 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Netflix's $160 billion valuation is dizzying, and this could be the year that it's put to the test. Later in 2019, Disney, AT&T, and Apple will launch their own streaming services, and there are reasons for Netflix to fear all three of them. Disney's strength is, of course, its brand, and if anyone's going to get a new product right, it's probably Disney. Meanwhile, AT&T is sitting on perhaps the best set of assets, namely HBO. Then there's Apple, which hasn't had much success converting iPhone owners into users of its TV app, but Apple does have the draw of an ecosystem that works across devices. Netflix is still the reigning media stock, a title it's held in 6 of the last 11 years. But get ready, Netflix shareholders, because other companies are bringing the heat. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:56 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
As if it were needed, there's more proof that the world is drowning in plastic. Just last month, marine experts watched a whale die off the Philippines and ended up finding it had swallowed 88 pounds of plastic, blocking food and eventually starving it to death. Now, it's happened again. A 26-foot-long sperm whale beached in Sardinia was found to have 48 pounds of plastic waste in its belly, shopping bags, disposable plates, knots of fishing line, tangles of nylon rope, corrugated tubing for electrical wiring, and even a package of washing detergent with its barcode still legible. And it turns out it killed more than one animal. She was pregnant when she starved because she couldn't digest her food. Plastic filled two-thirds of her stomach. This is the sixth similar case over the past 2 years from Europe to Asia. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Green on the screen this morning. S&P futures up 14 points. Dow futures up 112. NASDAQ futures up 43 points. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow up next. With John Tucker, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.